At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
All right, yeah, welcome to the Comedy Store Podcast, everyone. I'm Rick Ingram.
I'm Eleanor Kerrigan.
We got Mr. Sam Tripoli in the house today.
Hey, we're live.
Fresh off of Comedy Store Fantasy Football Draft, where Sam rues the day of every person in
that
room.
Thank you, dude.
Is that true?
I appreciate you appreciating my mental warfare I do. I get in people's heads. I do what they call the Tripoli low blow, where I just go personal right before they're about to pick, and then they forget who they're picking, and I get all the guys I want. And then I got fucking Josh Martin.
Uh-oh.
Fuck. Oh, just say.
How do you say something personal about him?
Well, what happened
was, why don't you just pick a really bad pick?
Yeah, it's so bad.
That was it?
His mind is as bad as his haircut. It's just like he has everything so slow. It's like a 1984 printer. Slow.
Yeah.
It's just slow. And the problem is he's really angry because he made a bet with me, and he said I wouldn't finish in the bottom two years ago, and we pulled from a bag on my Punch Drunk podcast, and he had to wash his face everybody who is on the podcast, Jizz Rag, and he did it, and you could see it on YouTube, just putting Josh Martin Jizz Rag.
I watched it live in the belly room.
Yeah.
It was like an Ari Shaffir show, Ari Shaffir belly room show.
Oh, he's doing, I think it was like a This Is Not
Happening. Yeah.
So he took it and he wiped his face, and he's been bitter ever since, but like, no matter what you say, you washed your face with my jizz rag, so that's all I got to say.
That's why his skin looks so good. Yeah. Do you have any more jizz rags?
Yeah, I'm really good at cleaning it up.
I walked in a couple days ago, and he was in the back bar, and he was like, hey, if you want to give up your fantasy football team, I'm happy to take over. And I go, what? And he's like, I've been trying to get in that league for a long time. And I go, really? Because I didn't even know it existed until 2 days ago when they asked me to be in it. Oh, that's bullshit.
Did you tell him there's no W in trying?
Fine. So it was just watching him get angry. And then I just kept going, I don't even really want to play, but like, I'm just going to.
Do you play fantasy league a lot?
I'm in a league with my dad and my brother, but other than
a three-man league. Well, everyone's got like super teams.
The rest of them are their friends. So.
I play fantasy show.
A three-man
business
league would be nice.
Yeah. Just arena football. It's like 1,000 to 1,000.
I get dead last in the fantasy comedy every year.
There you go. I would pick you first.
Thank you.
No, would you? I don't know where I'd rank. I don't know where I get drafted.
You would be up there. Definitely.
I don't think so.
I wouldn't be on the board.
It depends on what you're drafting. If you're going on pure credits, which a lot of these fuck faces in this town do.
Are you making deadline fun of the credit store?
Yeah.
How dare you?
No, not the credit store. I'm just saying in the comedy draft. Right. Yeah. I feel like I would lose out to people with credits or whoever's done the roast battle. I feel like
that's what
would
we call
be like, I get like some fucking open micer who's like ranked 70th in the roast battle would get drafted over me. The roast battle is such like it's
the
such
worst
a,
thing ever. You
well,
can say
it's not worst thing ever.
I will.
No, I love it. I love everybody. I'm happy for everybody. But it's such a weird skill.
Yeah.
Because it literally doesn't translate anywhere else.
Yeah. I was talking to Jeff Ross about it. I'm like, why is it that you guys predominantly use people who can't get on the open mic list? He's like, well, it's a different skill set. I'm like, it just seems like maybe you would want.
It's a perfect storm of just like, it's great. I'm happy. I love Moses to death.
Yeah,
hope he gets
happy for him.
Just a higher class of white chicks.
Yeah,
yeah.
Because right now he's only getting the white chicks nobody wanted. Now
it's
I hope
real
he gets
shit that he's bringing.
Like
in.
Some with like at least a couple SAG vouchers or something.
That'd be nice.
Of
that
some
would be
fuckability. But I'm happy
deal
for him. It is cool. I mean, like to see like your friends do really well in it. But it's just if they were drafting, it would be so interesting to see who draft like that top 100 comedians of all time.
Oh yeah,
Like, I mean, or working now?
There's so many great lists.
Were you even on that list?
I'm not on any fucking list.
I haven't ever been on a list. I was not on a list, but Ahmed Ahmed was on the list.
I was
that's what offended me.
Not even close.
That's what we joke about the Comedy Store. It's now the Credit Store. Like, you have to.
There is something, dude. Well, I mean, my whole theory is like you have to fill the room or else you're going to knock it down, turn into a German discotheque or some shit like that.
Yeah.
I get it.
That's the nice part about them bringing in celebrities, but at the same time, just because someone has a credit, they're on a fucking John Hughes special TBS.
I'm with you. Really? There is a blessing though that we are late night comics.
Definitely.
Because I can't hear myself, but can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. There is a blessing.
I mean, just because I'm in the room with
you.
Yeah, and I'm yelling. We're back. That we are late night comics because there's not a lot of guys or comics who can do that or want to do that.
Exactly. I kind of love it. I know it's terrible, but like no one's ever going to be like, oh, I discovered Eleanor at the Comedy Store.
Well, it's literally the only place you could work out still.
Yeah. And I go on like 12 after 12. And I fucking love it.
You go on tomorrow.
Yes.
If you get a date, your spot is tomorrow.
Last night I went on at 12:45.
I get the same I get always right after the headliners.
Exactly.
That's my spot every time. It's like, here's five famous people and a guy you don't know who's a dick face.
Yeah. Like, but you get good spots, though. That's cool.
Fucking great spots.
Yeah. I'm happy with my two good spots a week. I'd take, you know, five bad spots. That'd be nice, but...
Yeah, but who gets five anymore? It's like Bobby Lee.
It seems like too many, to be perfectly
frank. Are
there
a lot of five people? I feel like this town has gotten to the point where it's five, six guys are getting all the spots everywhere. Like Jamie Masada, so retarded, and I hope he hears this.
Say that word.
He's so retarded.
I don't listen to podcasts.
That he just rips off the lineup here. So most of the guys get here, they get there.
Yeah.
So... That's why nobody goes over there because, I could go to a Comedy Store and hang out and have fun. And then the improv now, I love the improv.
Do they do anything other than bringer open mics? Because
a lot of guys I don't even know over there.
I don't even, I had to talk with the booker the other day. It's like, word is like, I'm Comedy Store. And I am Comedy Store. I'm totally cool with that. But a lot of the people on the list are comedy. It's like the same five or six guys.
That
it's like five guys
anymore.
In Lysis Schlesinger.
That guy,
that's every show now.
That guy tells me constantly about how he's trying to find the right spot for me and has not found the right spot for me in 2 years.
It is a, I get it. It's a hard, a hard gig because you got a billion people hitting you up.
Right. And they don't have enough spots. Like the store, that's what I love about it.
And you have to fill the room.
Yeah. And we have so many showrooms.
He
and
has.
Break it up.
Can I give you my theory on who ruined comedy in Los Angeles?
Sure.
Oh, please.
I'm being dead serious when I tell you Chris Milhouse ruined comedy. And listen
to
me.
I'm glad I took over his fantasy football team then.
That guy, I've been out here forever. He's the first dude that I remember that started doing free guest lists to show. Hey, come to my show. Get on my guest list. And he would just pack it with famous people and just give away the whole entire door.
How would he get the famous people in? Oh, you mean
the show.
The comics. Yeah. The comics.
I see what you're saying.
And he gave away the door. So nobody, and then everybody's like,
is that why he never paid anybody?
Probably, but he was doing that hot comedy action at the end, and that's the first time he's just giving away the door just to get stage time. And then suddenly everybody stopped wanting to pay for comedy, and then it became, you got to have a famous person list to get fucking on, to have anybody come see your show. If you, like, the whole point of the Naughty Show back in the day was you don't care who the comics are, you just know the brand, it's going to be good.
Yeah.
I could never get there because it just got to the point where it's like, unless you have... The key is to have Rogan and one other person famous, or Chris Lee and one other famous person, and then you pack the room.
Yeah.
Unless you have those guys on it, nobody's coming to the fucking show.
Well, it's not just Crystal Lee, okay?
What do you mean?
I discovered him and Whitney. We don't need famous people. This is comedy college.
I do. Tommy, as much as he drove me crazy, I love Adam. I love what Adam's doing because you do got to fill the room.
It's great. Yeah, great.
But
crowd.
I do miss...
Keeping the store open.
Right.
It's amazing.
He Tommy would give me, before he moved away, he lived across the street
from
me.
Where does he live now?
He lives in Buffalo.
He moved?
In your neighborhood.
Yeah. So
why Buffalo?
That's where his girlfriend's family is from, I guess. So they're going up there because she has a support
the
system or something.
The ear-beating people are taking in Buffalo about him building the store.
Well, let me tell you something, Cam. I'm turning Helium into a prime club. I'm building it up, starting with Jimmy Pidd and the other big names in Buffalo.
Jimmy Pidd's not a big name, Tom.
Well, I discovered him. That's what it's about. He would come. I'd see him. He lived across the street from me, and he'd come over, and he'd always still talk Comedy Store like 2 years after he got fired. But he'd go, I don't like what they're doing over there, okay? We don't need David Spade on the list. And I'd be like, I mean, the room's sold out. It doesn't reach our demographic. We want 18 to 35, okay? And I'll 21 because 18 can't get in. I'm like, it's not primetime television. We're not selling advertising. What do you mean our demographic? Our demographic is who will pay money to fucking watch comedy and drink.
Yeah. And you like those checks, right? Yeah. I mean, those checks are great.
They're great.
Sold out, bam.
Wow, well, it'd just be better if we had more time for Thomas Ward.
I doubt he said that. Yeah, that's something
he never suggested.
I love T. Ward, but I doubt he said that.
Yeah.
Oh my God, that is so funny that he would come and bombard you with shit like that.
That's so funny. After he got in a fight with his girlfriend.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Get a job. I gonna get the job back.
Yeah, he had trouble letting go. When he was moving away.
It was his identity.
Yeah. When he told me he was moving, he came across the street and he's like, you know what the ironic part is? I'm like, oh God.
Is the irony here?
Jamie Masana just offered me the talent coordinator job at the Laugh Factory. I'm like, no, he didn't. There's no way that happened. But
he did not. They had a conversation. Jamie was I begged him. Crazy.
Well, that chick over there now, I hear crazy things about her,
too. I love Aiko. Do not shit on Aiko.
She is crazy.
I have to.
Isn't she in the Ding Dong Show?
She's a crazy cunt.
No, you're thinking of Aiko Tanako. And she's a comic, yes, but this girl is not. Aiko is...
She's the Asian girl.
Yeah,
and she's crazy.
I know who she is. Yeah, she seems crazy.
The things I hear her say to people, I'm like, are you like a Hell's Angel, like a huge gangster that could fuck people? Because you talk to grown-ass men like you're a fucking... Like you've done hard time. You got
like
teardrops, like you've murdered people.
They told me I need to re-showcase if I want stage time. So
was it her or somebody else that told you?
It's whoever runs the...
Really, it's still Jamie.
I hear Jamie's never there.
They said Jamie's on paternity leave.
Yeah, like he knocked up some waitress.
So someone else is running it. But I just said, what do I need to do? I haven't had a spot in like 2 years. And they said, yeah, you have to re-showcase. I said, all right, I'll just never perform.
Laugh Factory was the first place ever picked me up.
Yeah.
I never had to showcase. He was just like, he made me a regular. Then he made me showcase again. And then I was a regular. And then
is that
we
because
had
he forgot you or
because he's crazy?
Okay, yeah, he's a little crazy.
And then Dane poisoned my well over there because I was on that list of people that he tried to ban. Like anybody who was funny, he was banning them.
Yeah,
no.
He made people weren't even like him, like Sebastian and
we got to get him out of here.
No,
swinging his arms around, so just trying to talk to.
I didn't know he pop locked. Yeah, Paulie.
He's very active, very physical complainer as well as comedian.
His whole dream is to become a regular at the Comedy Store.
Yeah, well, and they shut him down.
I hope
God
that doesn't come true.
It won't.
I remember Mitzi when Jay Davis did the
rock and roll comedy.
That's how I got picked up.
A rock comedy.
That's how you showcase here. Oh my God! First of all, that was my favorite show. Because it was packed, I was making a shitload of money. I didn't give a shit.
And that was in the days
stage
when there were no packed shows.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Those were the days where, like, Ren Azizi was working the
cover booth.
He just survived 9/11 and he was at the cover booth.
Right.
I love him.
It's his weekend, guys. Yeah, leave him alone.
I love him. And he was working the cover booth, and I would show up. He's like, dude, should I get a new job? I'm like, why? He goes, look. And you look in, there was like nine people.
You can't even steal from nine people.
Yeah. It's so hard to steal from nine people.
Yeah.
But that show was fucking packed. And Mitch Mulaney was on it. I remember Mitch.
The first shows I did that actually had crowds here were the Jay Davis and then Josh Nassar Belly Room Friday night shows.
Oh, yeah.
That was the only time I'd ever go up in front of actual human beings.
Wigger Josh Nassar?
This was just extremely blatantly homoerotic Josh Nassar.
Bleached asshole Nassar?
Definitely had a bleached asshole.
My mom came when I was a doorman, and I had to work the back door for the Josh Nassar show, and he came out and told me, you know, hey, listen, I'll just have this list and act like you're looking at the list, blah, blah, blah.
And my mom was standing there, and he's like, "Who's that?" I'm like, "This is my mom." "Oh, hey, nice to meet you. I'm Josh." And he walked away, and my mom, so excited. I go, "What?" And she's like, "I've never met a gay guy on Coke before." And I was like, "Nailed it, mom."
With bedazzled jeans. So you got humor from your mom.
Nailed it. Yeah. My family's pretty fucking ridiculously funny.
I love that.
My mom and dad crushed at my wedding. That's just crushed. So funny. Like, all the comics were just like, "Holy shit."
When did you get picked up?
The Comedy Store?
Yeah. When did you become a regular?
I was 21. I got here in 2002, and I became a regular at the end of the summer of 2003.
Right.
So
unbelievable.
I was so lucky.
I got picked up in 2000.
2000.
What was your showcase?
I did.
You were a doorman?
Yeah. She made us. She goes,
"Oh, that's right. You and Johnny Sanchez."
No, and Aaron Cater for a short time. Ahmed Ahmed never had to work the door. And he's Maz is already a regular.
Ahmed's so good looking.
Yeah. So we had to work
top
the door.
Top 100 comics, by the way, working.
And I used that list. I was like, "What? Okay. Yeah. Okay. At least they got Brett Ernst pretty high. I respect that. Okay. Yeah. Somebody might know." And they're like, "What? Oh, what?
Yeah.
Okay. What? What?" I mean, any kind of list is retarded. When Comedy Central put out Janine Garofalo over Dice Clay, I was like, "You're fucking crazy."
Well, they go for mediocrity. So what do you?
They love it.
Yeah, it's crazy. And I'm not. Janine does well. Does
no,
great.
She doesn't, dude.
No, I mean, in
with
the
who?
Business.
Where?
In the business. With I mean, she was a great comedic
does she,
actress.
What, like,
in the angry lesbian
maybe
circuit,
not now.
I think she's
there
pretty popular.
There used to be a time where it was around the early 2000s where, like, Janine Garofalo and Chelsea Handler would just go to festivals and bomb. Just
oh my
bomb.
God.
Like, it was so notorious for her just bombing on stage.
I don't think Sam doesn't respect the misanthropic lesbian demographic. That's
like
the problem.
That. I need to. That's probably why I'm not famous.
Yes,
because they run Hollywood.
They run.
No, because
they run
that's what I was told
towns.
When I got here. They were like, "Look, when you go to an audition, they're going to send you to the lesbian. If the lesbian likes you, she's going to send you to the gay guy. The gay guy likes you, he's going to send you to the Jew. The Jew likes you, you're in."
Yeah.
Damn.
So I was like, "Oh, that's the chain of command."
Yeah.
So I'm still with the lesbians, but they're not pushing me up
I,
these
I can't
dykes.
Wait till
they
I
love
get
you,
sent
though.
To a lesbian.
I thought lesbians love you.
Yeah, my dad calls
I
them
like
girl
all
faggots.
Lesbians.
They're great.
They're either really great crowds or the worst crowds.
Oh, no, I love them. I don't care. I like every crowd.
You do great you know, with man, that I lesbian love. Crowd. What's her face? Tammy Show?
Tammy
you crush.
Jo Deere. Yeah. Well,
you
all
crush.
The lesbians come out to finger me. Watch
yeah.
the show.
Damn.
But wait, that's so hot. You showcased in 2000.
I used to show. I didn't showcase as much as Ari, but I showcased like 4 or 5 times. And one time,
I do remember you.
I crushed so hard
in the OR.
In the OR, that Lauren came out and was like, "Oh my God, you crushed so hard.
I like this guy. Should I suck his dick?
Yeah.
Do you have any coke?"
One time, she's laying it down, and she was just talking to me, and then she just went spread eagle, and I was like, "Okay, what do I do right here?" Like, she works there. I didn't know how to fucking handle. Little I know, like, everybody's just fucking everybody. I still had respect. Like, the comedy store was a place
like a
of
workplace.
Business.
Yeah.
Yeah. I remember, okay, I got a great story, but I did a showcase. I showcased, and I did so well, they made a new title for me, which was Showcase Regular. Princess Corey was like,
"Wow,
we can't make you a regular because
okay, so
she doesn't like you, but everyone else really likes you, so we're making you Showcase Regular," which means
you could get in trouble for that.
Yeah, she did. She goes, "We're gonna make it so if you have an industry wants to see you, or like, we'll get you back in." So then Duncan calls me, and she goes, and Duncan and Maz call me, they're like, "Listen, she's looking to put a Middle Eastern show together." I'm
yeah.
like, "I'm
Arabian
Armenian."
Nights.
She goes, "Doesn't matter. It's close enough." And he gave me the code for how to pass with Mitzi, which
perfect.
Was
fill a role.
Do a joke about your ethnic group. Do a joke about one of your parents. Then do your favorite joke. So I did. I had a joke about my mom power walking. Power walking in L.A., my mom being Armenian, and like me going down the beach being Armenian. And then I did this bit that the only reason I did because Joey Diaz loved it. It was a bit about Armenians and Asians on ecstasy. It was like this bit I used to do. And I did it. And so I get off stage, and as I'm doing my set, I look out and Paul Mooney is talking to her. And that was either good or bad.
Right.
But I found out he really liked me.
Oh, that's awesome.
Because he saw me a bunch of times. And he was really nice to me. This one moment in time, he was nice to me. And he told her, like, "Oh, he's really funny. You should pick him up." And so I get off stage, and you walk up to her, and you hope she saw you.
Yeah.
Because at the time, like, you'd showcase and people knew the only time to get in Mitzi's ear was when you were showcased. So people would just fucking kamikaze dive on your showcases. Yeah. You're like, fuck, I've been waiting forever. So I walk up. She's like, are you Syrian? And I'm going to be honest. At the time, I had no clue what that meant. I had no clue what Syria was. It was or Syrian, but I just wanted to get in. So I'm like, yeah. Totally. I'm fucking Syrian. I'm 100. It's like, okay, I like
you. Are you with ISIS?
You have to showcase at the Thursday show, which was Jay Davis's rock comedy show. So we did it. I did the same set. Crushed.
5 minutes? 3 minutes?
Yeah, what? It was like a 5 to 3 minute set. Crushed. Now, Maz Jobrani's supposed to go up. Maz hides. And so they're like, we can't find Maz. We don't know where he is. Fucker. Can we put this new guy up? Brett Ernst. Okay, yeah, put Brett Ernst up. Aww. Brett showcased. He got picked up that night. So it was Brett, me, Aaron Cater, and Ahmed all got picked up on the same night because of Jay Davis's show.
That fucking show was great. And the crowds were unbelievable. So that was...
So then I'm get a...
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Called the next day by Duncan. Mitzi really likes you. She's going to do something she's only done one other time with Roseanne Barr. Your first spot is going to be a main room spot.
Wow.
So I get my main room spot. I don't even know what the fuck's going on. I go and I'm following Charles Fleischer, who's doing an hour and a half of fake bullshit. Yeah.
That's so weird.
Oh, what'd you say your name is, Rod? Dodd, Cod, Bod, Mod,
Wait
Sod.
That's an actual bit, and that's weird. You remember that.
I bombed for 15 minutes.
Yes!
And I thought I was done.
You can't follow Roger Rabbit.
Dude, I my first main room spot was 2 weeks after I got passed. And when I got passed, I had about 4 minutes of terrible material. And so I did opened a show in the OR that week on like a Thursday and just bombed horribly. And then I brought up Argus. Well, wasn't he great, everybody? And so then I got a main room spot the following weekend, and I was just like, okay, this is it. And I went up, and I'm up there, and I'm just stretching, trying to do anything I can think of, and I'm just eating shit so bad. Yeah. And then I'm sitting there waiting. I'm just like, God, I'm bombing so bad. This feels like I've been up here forever. And I just keep bombing, and I keep bombing. And then eventually I hear Argus yell from the back, the light's broken. Just get off. And the light was broken. And so I didn't know. And the sound guy didn't realize that it didn't turn on. I felt like I was up there for a half hour, and I was up there for like 28 minutes. But to have Argus yell
28 minutes,
28 minutes of just bombing, and the crowd just like, what the fuck? And I'm like, well, I don't want to leave early, and the light's still not on.
You never want to get off stage.
I'm doing my time.
Light's broken.
Time.
Get off the stage.
When a comic...
Wasn't it great, everybody? Oh, Jesus.
Look like I'm going to have to bring them back.
Mitch brings the young pups up, and they just keep getting better. What? You just yelled for me to get off the stage.
My favorite thing was watching people. I don't know if it still happens because the OR is still a hard room, but I feel like it's been softened up a little bit. But man, watching people do their first set
in the
OR,
and
just watch a bag of dicks getting. I literally watch Aaron Cater do 15 minutes of absolutely silence
right after he got passed.
Yeah, it was first time in the OR. I watched him, and it was 50 minutes of not a fucking peep. Like,
it's a beast. It's
his
OR.
His George Bush stuff was actually kind of relevant then, but still bombing.
So I just watch, and you just watch people just learn, like, oh shit, I can't do fake shit.
Yeah, I love watching comics that crush everywhere else go in there. First time I watched Dane Cook, he came over. Tommy started letting him try to do OR spots. So he came over, and it was like probably 11:45 on like a Wednesday. And there was like 9 people in the room, and then like 6 or 7 comics all sitting in the back, just furious, like this fucking guy. He's and then Jay Davis sitting there, and he's up. You know what? I love the Sports Chalet song. That's the greatest rock and roll song of all time. Sports Chalet. And the crowd's just staring at him.
Shut the fuck up. It's the best. I would have thrown a chair
and
at
all
him.
All you hear is just him bombing, and then him looking around to silence, and then just Jay Davis. Oh, that's great. That is great. Oh, good one. And I'm just being like, God, I love this room, man. It doesn't get better than this.
I love Rick's Jay Davis. I don't know why, but he did a story about Jay a couple of weeks ago. And his Jay Davis is just
super happy.
Jay Davis is the nicest, he's worst so nice. Human being ever.
No, he's
so
not.
Nice and he's so horrible at the same time. And I love him, but you just like... insanity is just doing the same shit over and over again, expecting different results.
Right.
And it's literally the same shit 15 years. Hurricane bitch, all that shit. It's just like, I tried to do a project with him, but it was just like, nah, okay, this is,
I want to do a project with him.
And then he decided to bring Dane Cook, and I'm like, this is never, ever going to see the
so
light of day.
You're not friends with him, obviously.
No, I like Jay Dane. I'll tell him he's crazy.
No, not Jay, Dane.
I tried to have a moment with Dane where I'm like, I'm going to reset with you.
Okay.
You were a horrible human being. You thought comics were Highlanders and there could be only one. And you went all, you did whatever you could to completely flamethrow everybody.
Right.
And I'm going to give you a chance. And then we started working with him and it just, I'm going to fund it, dude. And then he just walked away. And I'm just like, you know what? I'm over it, dude. I don't really hate him. He really made my life miserable a long time ago.
Yeah,
he would
that's
say
terrible.
Just horrible shit to me, heckle me while I was on stage.
What?
Yeah, dude.
First of all, unfortunately,
I was doing a showcase at the Laugh Factory. It was like this weird moment where I was a regular, but he would make me showcase, and he didn't show up. So I was like, fuck, I'm going to do all dirty shit. Jamie's not here.
Oh, fuck yeah. Yeah, but the cameras are on, Pumpkin.
And I did it, and I killed in this dead room. And I get off stage, and it was Butch Bradley. Who's Dave, the guy who used to be a comic, but now he's a teacher? You remember Dave?
Oh, Dave, the skinny one?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mishevitz?
No.
Where is Dave Mishevitz?
I don't know.
Dave. I could see him. He talks like that.
He was he was a funny guy. He just
so
said, fuck it. I'm going to get a job. Dave
Teitelbaum?
Yeah. No, he drove me nuts, that one. Yeah.
So he's there, and one other person's there, and I'm with my roommate at the time, Scott Ross. Mm-hmm. And I got done. I didn't know Dane, but I knew of Dane.
Right.
So...
Dave Pierre
was there.
Sorry.
And I love Dave
God
Pierre.
God damn it. I was just scanning my brain.
Yeah,
elderly
going
brain.
Through the
somewhere.
And so I say, hey, goodbye, guy. Bye-bye. And Dane's there. I'm like, hey, dude. I'll talk to you later. Bye, Dane. He goes, hey, dude. You're doing my bit. I go,
motherfucker.
In front of everybody. I go 0 to Armenian real quick. Like,
good.
It hits like a fucking white BMW, hummus, fucking
Dane
car.
The
a velour
Turk
suit
cook.
Came out.
Yeah, Turk, fucking Dane the Turk. I go, what fucking bit are you talking about? Because like I was working dirty like I am now. I was working back then when everybody was trying to be clean and observational. I go, what bit? He goes, that bit where you thank the cop for the ticket. I go, okay, I never heard you do that fucking bit. I'm ready to fucking swing. And my roommate grabs me. And pulls me out of the Laugh Factory. He goes, dude, if you punch him, you'll never work there ever. I go, so I go to the Dublin's.
Oh, yeah.
And I see him. I go, hey, Dane. He goes, what? I go, why don't you do that bit for me on stage so I can see your bit compared to my bit? He goes, how about this? How about I have ICM and my lawyer send you some legal documents?
He did that to so many people.
I go,
the lawyer.
Do it, motherfucker. I'm going to beat the fuck out of you. And you see this fear come over his eyes.
Yeah, because he's just a
He goes, whoa, whoa, whoa. I go, you fucking piece of shit. I go, you said this in front of everybody. I'm here. You're up here. Why do you give a fuck? To this day, I'll see a kid doing a bit that's permanent. I'm like, it's new to him. I don't give a fucking shit.
Yeah, but the thing with Dane was when he said you're doing my bit, he meant he's going to start doing that bit now that he's seen you do it.
100%.
Exactly. It's like, well, I like that premise, so that one's mine.
And then he goes, okay, dude, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have done that. It wasn't me. Dan Smith told me you were doing my bit.
Dan Smith.
Who later on went and had a falling out with him because Dane would cheat on his girlfriends and then have Dan... He like kind of like give him an alibi and shit. It was so crazy back then.
It's so stupid. I don't, you're right. I don't know why a higher up would shit on a But it doesn't matter. He doesn't work here. So wait, can we go back to your main room spot where you were bombing?
Yeah. Bombing, yeah. Dude. Eating a bag of dicks.
Like, after Fleischer, did he play the piano and the harmonica and all
you
that
don't
shit?
Bomb. You think
in the main
you
room.
Bomb.
I bomb in the main
you
room.
You are so funny. You
I
are
love
so
you
good
and I
now.
Thank you, but
you're a hard person to follow. You shouldn't be featuring.
That main room, it fucks me up. I don't know. So
I think it's in your head.
Maybe.
That you're gonna bomb, and I used to have that too. Now I don't give a fuck anymore. I just don't care.
Maybe that's true because I feel like I do give a fuck because I know what Mitzi wanted that stage for. So I'm like, oh, I have to be
no.
Weekend at Bernie's. Don't ever consider Mickey or Mitzi's fucking plans at this
How
point.
How dare you bring up me and her in the Dominican Republic?
You're going on so late too. They've gotten their money.
Oh, I
like,
know.
That's my whole. When I'm doing those late spots, I'm like, you know what, man. And you're going
I'm
on after Holtzman.
No, I open for Holtzman. I usually go on right before Holtzman or right before Brody.
Yeah.
And I try to keep them because I think
That's
everybody
not your job.
Should see them too.
It's you can't do that. At some point, the crowd's going to go.
Yeah.
No matter what you do up there, listen, if you bomb, they're leaving. If you crush, they're leaving. It's just they're
at that point, that's the deal.
They're like, okay, give me a reason to leave.
I've been watching comedy for 3 hours now. Even if the next person's great, I'm fucking tired of this.
Yeah.
You're fucking so funny. You
if
are
Robin
hard
Williams,
to follow.
I love you for saying that.
You are.
Thank you.
It's so funny. You know.
So you're bombing.
Wait, so you're bombing. Let's go back to bombing.
Oh, bombing. I'm just, I don't even
so
know
now
what I
you
do.
Are Syrian at this point.
Yeah, I really am. I'm a terrorist on stage. I'm eating it. But I tap into this thing that I kind of have now where I just start talking about how bad it's going. And that's kind of the magic of the Comedy Store is like you have to be so in the moment.
Got to save yourself. Yeah.
You can't go and do a fucking monologue.
No road gig.
Fakeness
attitude.
Doesn't work here.
I can tell people, man, be in the moment. Talk about what's going on.
When people ask me,
like,
why'd you start doing crowd work mostly? I'm like, because this is the only place that lets me perform. And it just seemed to work better.
Yeah.
It's like this.
Yeah, but dude, you could perform so many places.
Yes.
You should be on the road destroying.
But they'll only give me feature work because I don't have credits. So I just don't. It's not worth it for me to fucking fly to, you know, Dayton, Ohio to make $500 when
I
can
make
$500.
Yeah, and you would get
fired
quick because the headliner would want to follow
That's
you.
Which
I'm
has
saying.
Happened
He's
to me.
Purgatory.
Like,
yeah.
Like 4 times I've been somewhere and then they say, hey, we're going to pay you, but you either have to open the show or you can just go back or whatever. I'm like, oh, what?
Yeah, nobody wants to follow it.
It's fucking.
You're a crusher.
It's brutal.
What you should start doing, dude, is booking your own one nights. Out and play, you know, mention everything. Try to get some place where you know you got people.
I don't have people anywhere, though.
Well, you can go in Kansas and stuff like that, and you just start doing one-nighters.
I don't
want to
see those people, though.
Well, there's
this
a way to
negativity.
Do
negativity.
Listen, the last time I called the club in Kansas City and asked about doing, like, headlining, I called Stanford & Sons. It's the club I started at. And the guy said, he said, yeah, well, you know, we don't have any space right now. I'm like, dude, you're booking fucking Tony Hinchcliffe and like all these people. He's like, I can get you, you could feature for John Cheeser. He's like one of my best friends.
No fucking way.
But it's just
way.
Like, I'm not going to fucking, it did happen. And that's like, he books Cheese once or twice a year if Cheese asks, but.
Why doesn't Cheese put a good word for you?
He
go,
does, he
go
does.
Go give me your worst day.
Fucking,
so they'll see,
you,
the key is.
Cheese
like,
is great for me. I just thought it was feature. Funny that was my offer. I'm like, listen, I'm not going to come feature.
It's shit, dude.
Yeah.
It's shit.
It really is.
But once you get out there, people see how funny you are. And you're going to have to do the shit gigs. It's just like that's the reality of the situation.
I just don't think it's worth it to me. Unless I can make money, I don't see the point of going on the road.
Well, because your act is good, dude. And it would be something that would do really well on the road.
Yeah.
That you should have to just go through it to get to it. It sounds stupid, but you're going to have to do shit until something hits. And something will hit. I mean, like, it is a blessing to get 3 spots a week at the store. It is
Absolutely.
A blessing. But it's also a curse in the fact that it's like this weird kind of false victory in the sense that you're so fucking funny.
More people
you should
know
be
that.
Everybody should know who you are. And that's why you should be hitting up places like there's like B&C rooms in like San Francisco.
Absolutely.
You don't want to do that. That's not your choice, but you just need to go out there so people see your kung fu. Your kung fu is so good. You've been in the dojo long enough fucking everybody up.
Yeah.
But it's like you're only fighting people in the dojo. You got to go walk the streets, pick up fucking street fights, and even doing one-nighters in like there's so many one-nighters in L.A. Around Southern California that once people see what you do, the word's going to spread.
Yeah, and I don't have problems doing shows anywhere in California. Yeah. I'll drive to go do a show somewhere. It's just flying.
Have you
hit up
like Madhouse? Like Madhouse has these one-nighters where you can go do that and you can just fucking lay into people.
But Madhouse offered me the worst money of all time.
But you're going to have to take that for a little. I mean, dude, you don't have to, but you're going to have to take.
It was like, shit. Yeah, money. I mean, like that. I would barely cover gas to go to Madhouse.
Well, but see, I would do it because I'm an asshole.
Yeah, I could do like La Jolla.
Like if you do a Tuesday or Wednesday, right? You do a Tuesday, Wednesday, go, hey, give me a Tuesday, Wednesday. What else are you going to do? You cover your gas, you start fucking, people start hearing about you. It's like you got to eat a little dick to get through.
I have so much dick in me right now. This girl came out wrong.
She's got chocked full of dick.
She's got that dick name recognition.
But
you
do have to eat the dicks. Like, you're right about that. And you do have to go and take those shit money gigs.
I love doing the main room. It is a blessing. But there's also something that's really cool about doing your own night somewhere, getting fucking a bunch of people and making three. I mean, like, on my once I get people in the room, I kill. But I can't get anybody to worship at my altar.
There used to be a thing, like you trusted a brand. Like if you had a local comedy club, they booked a comic, you would go because you know that comedy club books good comics.
That's how it is in most of America.
But that went away.
Yeah.
And now it's like, we're not spending our money. And I think it's the people don't want to spend the money. We're not spending our money unless we know who that person is.
The other thing that really annoys me about comedy clubs that I try to get shows at is... they hit me with how many Twitter followers do you have?
Oh yeah, yeah.
I'm like,
you
not
get that,
that
if
many.
You go to,
you know,
an audition.
Are you gonna think I'm crazy? Fucking fake it. I know it sounds stupid. You're like, fuck this. I do it with honor, but fuck it, man. They're all fucking full of shit. If it's just Twitter follows, just fucking make a fake Twitter. Have your real account, that's you, and have a fake account, and just
people
make it fake
you.
As shit. Just man, fucking a million bots, a million fuck. That's all they fucking want.
I don't even know how to go about getting bot followers.
I actually do, and a lot of my friends are like, with my account and a couple of my other friends, they're like, look, you just have to buy these, right? And then I was watching Silicon Valley, and the guy sold something on the fake the fact that he had these fake
bots. Dude, these Instagram models are all fake, and they're getting nothing but work. You think Brittany Furlong got 3 million followers on...
No, but she actually
We walk with honor, and we're in a land of whores, and we're trying to be an honest whore.
But see, the thing is, with Brittany, she does do those videos, and they are kind of funny,
yeah, but
whatever. But I'm saying, like, you have to know she... Like, my thing is, if you put something up, and you have fake bots, or whatever the fuck we're calling them, you have fake people, fake followers, you put a picture up, and you get one like... And you got a million followers. You're a jerk off, and they can see that.
Yeah, but they don't care. That's it. You care. I care. You care. They don't care. If it's just about, see, the biggest thing, Rick, is just get yourself. I mean, like, people are like, oh, dude, you're telling them the fake. I'm saying make a fake account separate to your thing, and just, I wanted to do a account called Alternative Sam, where it's like this nerd Sam. And I was just going to put every fake bot on that and see who could get bigger, real Sam or alt Sam.
Alt Sam.
I think alt Sam will win. You know they love no punchlines.
Dude, I don't give a shit. These
just do big eyes.
Podcasts
instead of punchlines. Just
what?
These podcasts with these fucking huge numbers that nobody knows of. I know a lot of them are full of shit too. They know
well,
how to.
How can you fake that number? I didn't think you could.
There's algorithms that these fucking nerds know.
Yeah. I learned that word.
We should get one for this podcast.
No, you guys.
We're doing okay,
like,
actually.
Are we? I have no idea how many followers we have.
Yeah, I asked Ari.
Or listeners.
I do comedy anywhere. I did comedy in Ari's living room.
Is that true?
Yeah. Why not? Why not?
Are you booking? No, do you have any open weekdays?
You should just be hitting up people.
I do everywhere. I don't give a shit.
I think people, once they see you, they're gonna want to book you. You just got to get in front of them. Like, yeah. I used to do something everywhere I showcase, I got a week. I would just show, like,
oh,
if I was in town, I'd go, can I do a showcase, pop in?
Guest
they're like,
yeah.
I get a weekend after it. You know, it's just like, you just got to show up and just show them your kung fu. You know, you got to be able to do it within like a 7 to 10 minute range. That's what they're going to give you.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, just... But you just gotta go out there and let them know that you're great. They just don't know. They just don't know. They don't know you yet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's it. It's just like
they just have to know you, and it's hard. You can get booked on, like, a booker will take a shot on an off week, like the Stress Factory in Jersey. Vinny, he takes care of me. The other guy,
great room
Uncle
too.
Uncle Vinny's, yeah, dude, it's a Stress Factory. Stress
you know,
Factory.
Did it with really Dice. Yeah. Is if guys who like are big names fucking recommended you and go, hey, give this guy a shot. Give this dude a shot, and you're gonna have to take a shit deal.
Yeah.
And but it's like it's time to build the brand, and sometimes yeah, you gotta, you know, eat a little just to fucking grow it.
My brand is filthy, but people like it.
Yeah,
I'd be okay. Kidding. I mean, I'm not doing clean comedy, obviously. So
no, but dude, it's real. It's occasionally like you'll run into these fucking like. There's a couple clubs out there. I'm not gonna say their name. Like they hire guys to be food and beverage dudes, and then they're like. Assessing talent. It's like, you're the food and beverage guy.
Yeah.
Why are you
yeah.
assessing talent? Fuck
but
it,
but that's
dude.
How it always was. I mean, a lot of door guys are now the biggest managers in the business. Old
yeah.
door guys.
It's weird. You just got to get out there and kill. You're really funny. Everybody loves you. It's just, you got to go out there and just let them see your kung fu.
Yeah. I'll show them. I don't care.
Yeah. We're going to kung fu fight the rest of this.
I'll fucking drop kick anyone.
Can I
give me that chance?
Just a quick heckle thing. That yeah,
I want
to go
you to
into.
Tell a bunch of stories.
Well, here's the thing.
I
want
to hear about the time you shut down Amy Schumer's heckler.
Oh,
what she say that? Everybody's like, "Oh, it's so amazing."
I think what she said was like, "Sir, get out of here," and they were all just like, "Oh, she burns people like Josh that, Martin."
So Kathy Griffin's doing this like this horrible like New Year's Eve thing.
That's right,
with the gay robot that she always does every year. And like someone said something to her, and she goes, "I'm coming to your job and kick the dicks out of your mouth." And I'm like, "I can't believe that's what she just said."
That's an original bit, Sam.
So I go on YouTube just to see it, and of course, all the gay guys are like, "Oh my god, she's so fast. She doesn't care." I go, "Just to let you know, Jesus used that when he was on the
Absolutely.
Road too." I start getting murdered by all the Kathy Griffin fans. They start going after me, and one guy's really going at me hard, like really.
Are you serious?
Yeah. So I'm like. I want to see who this guy is.
I mean, I just want... She has
Kathy
fans.
Griffin, that's
all I'm asking.
That's Andy Dick in drag, right?
Yeah,
that's,
pretty
okay.
much.
So all right, just wanted to make sure.
So I go to his page, right? And I click on his YouTube page. It's all... It's a dude, and it's all like high school boys with their shirts off dancing. I go, "Hey, bye, real quick, let you know the guy who's like the big Kathy Griffin is a fucking pedophile." He fucking erased all of his fucking comments and all that shit right after that. But it's like, it's so interesting because, you know, we got this thing where like Amy Schumer, I think, is just in weird places. Like, I don't know what's going on with her. She's
well, it's they hang on every fucking word she says. If she says anything, they jump on her. Like, she said the other day, catcallers are usually guys of color. Now, they freaked out. She's racist. I'm like, wait, what? I mean, they all catcall, guys all cat, but most of them are Italian, and I consider them men of color.
Really?
I like
Absolutely.
That. Italians for
They're
sure.
Not white. Are you shit, Mac?
That's what offended
South
Eleanor.
Philly. Yeah, I was pissed. I'm like, Amy's right. Yeah.
So when you're walking down the street, it's mostly Italians saying shit to you?
Well, I'm saying she's in New York. The construction workers in New York. Oh, honey.
Yeah.
Fuck. Are you kidding me? I'm wet thinking about it.
Yeah.
But it's mostly Italian, and I don't consider them white.
You remember when CNN tried really hard to make that an issue, and like they were running like the video, and someone's like, "God bless you. Have a great day." They're like, "Listen to what they're saying.
These animals.
You're doing great.
Quit objectifying her."
I get hit on by Mexicans all fucking day, and I love it. I'm not shitting on it. I love it. But let me tell you, Chad is never fucking hitting on me.
They should just have a lane in Hollywood just for lawn maintenance trucks to catcall women walking down the street so we could go quicker.
Yeah, you got carpool lane on the left, catcall lane on the right.
Who's offended by this, by the way? I love it.
Everyone, because it's fun to be offended by everything.
Yeah,
now.
We all want to act like we just, it's
my morals are so
hard.
Important. And more importantly, nothing is important anymore to your actual life. What's important is how people see you on social media.
Yeah.
So you have to be offended by everything. Otherwise, your 8 followers and friends might not think you're a good person who's really sad that someone just died. Oh, someone's died. I better put an obligatory, "Oh, they were a great person, rest in peace" tweet out so people know that I have a heart.
Yeah.
I
did it once for Ali. And the only reason is because my dad used to tell people I was on tour with Cassius Clay. And I thought that was fucking hilarious.
Hilarious,
And so, but everybody was like, "What about all the soldiers that died?" I'm like, "Dude, Really? I did fucking one, you cocksucker.
Fucking
retard. I know
retards.
About the soldiers that died.
Dude,
I'm not
can we just
about
say anybody on any social media that has the American flag in their avatar is a cocksucker. Yeah. I'm yeah. sorry. I love
a
America.
Giant
but
cocksucking.
They're just douchebags. Every one of them is just like, oh, dude, what about the troops? Oh, dude, get off. Oh, fuck the Indians. Get off the fucking land. It's just like, it's so predictable.
Unless it's one of those gifts of an American flag flowing in the wind, and then endless respect for them.
Yeah, as long as it's moving.
Yeah, as long as there's some animation to the flag. If you just put up a flag picture, go fuck yourself.
You're not trying hard enough.
Oh, it's just so stupid. They're assholes. Anybody named Ari David is an asshole too.
Oh, wait a minute, I thought we were talking about Shafir. There were so many Aris that went through my head right now.
Anyways,
Ari David, why is that familiar?
He used to be around, and like he's like the super hardcore Republican. Republican,
I do remember.
And he's just
such an asshole
on Facebook. It's like, you're a friend, but you're such a douche on fucking Facebook.
It's so hard because with people with it, they pick their side and
now they're like, any Republicans putting,
right
anyone
now.
Who's putting pro-Trump, fuck, anyone who's putting pro-Trump or pro-Hillary shit
they're
out
both
there
assholes.
Are fucking assholes.
Yeah,
they're both assholes.
Yeah.
They both have their heads in the dirt, and it's just like they're assholes.
But people talk about them like, oh, there are people. Who's people?
They don't give
a
fuck
about
you.
They don't come to my fucking neighborhood.
They don't give a shit.
I mean, they
remember
might
like
not
when
hear.
Bush was running, it's like, man, he looks like somebody I could have a beer with. It's like, who wants to fucking vote
and
that guy's president?
He would not have a fucking beer yeah. with you.
He's like, a fucking piece of shit.
I've heard people say, Trump, he talks like us because he's one of us. Wait, what?
No.
When? When did your dad give you $1 million to start a company?
We have allowed stupid
to
proliferate.
Yeah.
My dad gave me a million reasons why he couldn't give me money.
We need to stop electing all these Ivy League assholes. And give Donald Trump a chance. It's like,
boy, that
he went to
familiar.
Ivy League,
yeah,
motherfucker.
He's an asshole, too.
Do you know who wrote that? Can
who?
I say?
Go ahead. I don't care.
Mike Ricca, this cocksucker. We are anti-Ricca.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't follow Ari, what's his name, David, but we are anti-Ricca. And
for
I
real?
Wanted so hard
you
to
hate
suck
Ricca?
His dick.
He just talks a lot
Ricca.
Of shit.
I did, and I loved him for years, and I kind of still do, of course, but he has become this nutcase. He literally inboxed me and was like, hey, you shouldn't do jokes about abortion. It's not a joke.
Really?
Oh my God.
Did he,
it's a whole fucking
he commented
thing.
On
so
my
he
page
all over
about Ellen, you know, oh, you're just mad because I said some shit about your girl Eleanor because, you know, it was just really sad watching this girl talk about abortion when, you know, it's like
she's
she can't
Catholic.
Even have kids. It's like, what?
I can have kids. That's
like,
why I'd have an abortion if I got
what
caught.
What?
And then he just started,
so weird.
Then he just started posting all this pro-Trump stuff on my page.
Oh, yeah.
I just had to be like, all right, delete.
It's just
delete.
Like, how do you go pro-Trump? Like, I gotta say, hating Hillary.
Yeah, that's why.
Because I hate Hillary.
That's how I look at it.
But I hate Trump. I will never go, yeah, Trump.
Yeah.
Fuck yeah. Yeah,
not
just,
Trump or not Hillary. That's really the decision
this
year.
That's basically it. Like,
you shouldn't be pro either one of these fucking assholes.
I had a guy, a Trump fan, tell me to go back to my homeland. Somebody fucking said that to me.
Where is
I'm
your
like,
homeland?
Where
are you from, LA?
I'm from upstate New York, which is very interesting because that's where he lives.
Yeah.
He lives in Syracuse area.
Who does?
Mike Ricca.
Oh, Mike Ricca, yes.
Which
yes,
is,
yes.
Yeah,
I've
lives,
done
like, on
comedy
the lake.
All over the country, and I'm from there. That is by far one of the most conservative areas I've ever done stand-up in. The upstate New York is so fucking redneck. You don't think of
it's
it.
It's like rural, and you don't realize how fucking small
it's,
town
like
all that area is.
Like, you do dick jokes. They're like, oh, they all have like church sweaters on at comedy shows.
Well, that's obviously that's what happened to Ricca because
they have the K+8 haircut, and they got the and they have the church sweaters on, and they cannot believe you're talking like this.
It's inappropriate.
Yeah. Me on
Showtime
dicks. Saying I'm going to throw myself down a flight of steps if I'm pregnant is completely offensive to Mike Ricca. And then he sent me pictures of his kids.
So, yeah.
I'm
so
like,
what?
I don't care. I have nieces and nephews that I love. I just don't want any kids.
Yeah.
And I'm pro fucking choice.
You
should have
sent
sucker.
A picture of a coat hanger.
Anti-life is what you mean.
Anti-life.
I'm the only person that's actually anti-life. I could care less about choosing. I just think we need less.
We need to
people.
Thin this fucking herd, dude.
I know. And we're part of the problem.
There's too many people.
Yeah.
I got my. I'm one of ten.
I just added a person to the world, so now I got to take out like 10 just to fucking even the score for my personal beliefs.
I don't even respond. Like when I saw that Mike Ricco was shitting on me on Rick's thread, I was like, I'm not even fucking getting into it because I
can't believe
it.
You guys love each other.
Oh no, I loved him, and he knows that. He knows that I always had a crush on him.
What happened to him?
He just went fucking crazy.
Yeah, it's that area. You just sink in with everybody, and you start. You know, it's like when you see somebody move out here and they're like way too pro gay. You're like, oh, you're just drinking too much of the water.
Yeah, the Kool-Aid is just a little too strong.
Like when you see guys who are like douchebags and they got like the no on eight thing on their avatar. It's like, dude, you're not that guy. Who are you sucking up to?
Yeah.
He's sucking dick. That's
what he's doing. Yeah. I hate people who suck dick. Yeah.
I'm one of them, man.
At this point, this is the only people who will suck my dick are probably gay guys.
I offended a crowd 2 weeks ago by just mentioning that. I was just shitting all over people, all types of people, and the crowd is completely on board. And then I mentioned that my old building manager, who was a creepy fucking douche, has gone transgender. And I started talking about, what's great is now that this asshole is transgender, I know it's okay for us to make fun of transgenders. And the crowd went, oh, I go, what? Well, we can't make. They so I can make fun of this guy.
Yeah.
Because he is a Mexican dude who identifies as a Mexican dude. But if someone's transgender, now we can't talk about him. Fuck that. You guys are the bigots.
Yeah, really are. And they're just all guilty white people.
Yep.
Like I was talking about that. It's like nobody likes racist material unless you're of that race. And then you could just say the most nasty shit. And people are like, oh, it's so funny because you're one of them, which makes no fucking sense to me.
I agree.
If I'm saying the same shit, why is it racist? Because you grew up on MTV, and MTV fucking has, like, MTV just became this channel for bisexual, biracial people, and there's like 20 of them in the fucking world, and it's just like super sensitive. I used to watch their PSAs, and they're just like, you're raising twats, just giant twats. Who are these people? And they're lambs
to
slaughter.
So mean to say to my face.
We have to respect them, Sam, and their decisions. Okay, quit being a bigot.
It's just buzzwords.
You think you're a big man because you know you're a male and you've dominated this planet for too long. Well, now it's our turn. Okay, so send us your kids because I'm a transgender child molester and you won't judge me for it.
I followed. Where is Brett Morin, by the way? I haven't seen that guy forever.
I think he's been on the road.
Yeah, I think he's been doing blow on the road somewhere.
Yay for him. I like him. But he did a joke.
Did I give away too much just now?
Hey, dude, I did a lot of blow on the road. Who am I to judge?
I'm not judging anybody.
We all have a gift from God. My gift is I could fuck on coke, and it was just like,
oh my God, nobody else.
What's that? Really?
Most guys
can't get rock hard. Not just hard, rock hard.
Yeah, I like
rock hard.
Yeah, buddy. You did some blow and you got rock hard. On a scale of 1 to rock fucking hard, how hard were you?
That is so bad.
Where is that guy?
That's the dude we need
doing
to track
that
down.
Somewhere.
Have you ever thought about trying to get money and ask him what happened?
Are you kidding?
Have you seen the child pornography on the internet?
With the hands.
Open hand, palm slapping.
Dude, you crushed up there.
His problem is, you knew you bombed. He always wanted John Caparillo laughs doing the darkest evil shit.
Yeah.
He always wanted that, like.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, what's up with that? What's up with this? What's up with that?
That
oh, my God.
OJ bit. Yeah. Remember that OJ? You kill yourself, one little white girl. This man rushed for over 2,000 yards in a single.
Robert Blake.
Dude, that was a funny bit because I used to talk about, I went to a Public Enemy concert. Mm-hmm. And like during the Public Enemy concert, halfway through, they stop and they let Flavor Flav say whatever he wants.
Okay.
So this was just right after the murders and the trial. He walks out with this OJ Simpson statue, puts it right in the middle of the thing, goes, listen, y'all, I know he killed two people, but we got we got to forgive him because he rushed for mad yards in the NFL, yo. And literally, this concert that where Public Enemy had him in the palm of his hands, just stared at him.
You're like,
And that's an obviously all black crowd except for the Armenian.
Dude. Oh, dude, Public Enemy crowds are a lot of white people.
Yeah, I would see. Well, where did you go?
Across the street, House of Blues.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Here usually would be predominantly black. I've been to a few. But I've been to Ice Cubes. Vegas was more
Vegas, man. Everybody. Black hookers everywhere in Vegas.
Oh, my God, yeah. I'm so jealous. Just
like, and it's so interesting because it's like, you don't want to be like, okay, I'm being prejudiced here because I think every black hooker here, every black woman here is a hooker. And then you're like, I'm not going to judge her. She looks normal. Then she gives you like, hey, what's up? You want to hang out? It's like, everybody's a fucking black hooker.
Yeah.
And they're hot as fuck.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. I ride the elevator with them, and I just look like, "Ooh, you guys are having fun."
It's
huh?
unbelievable. It was never like that when I went to college there. I never saw that. Now it's just flooded.
I realized
black ass for sale.
I realized how bizarre looking I must be when the hookers didn't even give me the time of day.
Oh, they will now, dude.
You think
they give you the horny raptor look? Where they give you the fucking.
If they think your wallet.
I'm very familiar with the horny raptor look. If you haven't been fucked by a dinosaur, then you haven't lived in Hollywood for very long.
I have been fucked by dinosaurs.
Nice. Weird.
You do. You like a mole.
I do. I have daddy issues, I guess they call
it.
Yeah,
it's great.
I just like old dick. I don't know.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that. You know why? Because for most of the time, wherever you leave, they're like pet rocks.
Mm-hmm.
Wherever you leave them, you come back an hour, they're sitting right there still. They don't
It's true. But my ex, he was the youngest that I've been with.
Your most recent ex?
Yeah. He was like only 50.
He was 15 years old.
Remember Holtzman? We asked Holtzman who's the youngest girl he's ever been with, and he literally took a beat and went, 18 months. It was a heart attack.
There was a moment where Brian Holtzman clicked into it.
Oh, my God.
And this was about 8 years ago, and he was unfollowable. You could not follow him because I'm losing him. Pull him back with a simple, stupid joke. And it was just murder. And you go up, oh, it's done. I just did a draft with Sarah Tiana, just secretly coding to fucking Adam Egget that she didn't want to follow Brian Holtzman anymore, like trying to say everything. No, dude, that's the store.
That's how it works.
You follow everybody you hate to follow.
I had to follow him 2 weeks ago, and he opened with Jimmy Carr was on working out his bits. For the
garbage,
Rob Lowe.
Go on.
Everybody's like Jimmy Carr's amazing. I thought he was okay. I thought he was okay.
Yeah, he was working out his material, and you know the crowd's excited because they're getting the inside scoop. So he was really killing, to be honest. And I mean, he doesn't work here, but he's big in everywhere else.
Yeah, he sells theaters out.
Right, he's amazing.
England and Australia and Hong Kong. Garbage.
He was killing, right? And there was one lady on the side, an English lady, that was like, "You're funnier in the UK," right? And he was like, "Am I really?" Like, I mean, and it just turned into a fucking tea battle. You know what I mean? Like, he shit on her, he shut her down, whatever.
Inbred
and then he went
comedy.
Back to his thing.
Yeah.
So then he has to bring up, what's his name? Brian Holtzman. He brings up Holtzman, right?
I would have loved to have been there.
Here comes Numbnuts, right? He goes on the stage. As he was up there 2 seconds, he's like, "Give it up for Jimmy Carr, huh? He's doing all these jokes." And you know, his nurse, he goes, "He's great. He's great everywhere. And you cunt." And he goes right to the English lady. "I liked you better when you were sucking dick in the corner." And the crowd goes crazy. They're loving him, right? He's killing. I try to get Jimmy Carr to come back in to watch Holtzman's, you know, fighting for him. And he's fucking killing. Probably like 3 minutes, 4 minutes. Then it took a slow, not a slow turn, like a harsh.
Yeah.
And he just bombed. For the next 15 minutes, because he ran the light a little bit, because he was trying to redeem it.
I'll get something. Yeah.
Oh my God. Adam came in. It was just, we were dying. And poor Adam sitting back there. So now Tony Hinchcliffe, he didn't show up because he was working on the roast, and he was writing for somebody, so he was running late. So I got to follow Holtzman. I got to follow a giant fucking hole that he just dug.
Dude, I know people
OR.
Who purposely don't show up for their spot because they don't want to follow somebody.
I lost 4 pounds going on after Holt.
I would
but
just talk
great.
About how dog shit it is. I just so in the moment like, who wants to follow this?
Well, I did. I think I've done it to you too, where I go, just give it up for Holtzman. He's just working out his TED Talks, guys. Let him hear. and it works, but it's like, because he was so angry. The bit he closed with is one of my favorites, and I had to cross myself because it's about weather girls. I don't know if you've seen this.
Uh-uh.
And it ends with, "I don't want to hear about the weather in Pomona, bitch. Show me the hole." And he's literally like pantomiming opening his pussy hole. And that's what I had to go on.
Show me the hole.
So I just think of poor, sweet Sarah Tiana, who is amazing hey, writer, and kid, but she's that's a harsh.
Yeah, but
guy.
You can't.
And I love it. I agree. Love Sarah. It helps you grow. It helps you grow.
You gotta follow everybody.
I showed my hole. Like
you
he
gotta
asked.
Eat it. You gotta eat it, man.
I ate it. For a
little
bit.
He's a fucking education. It's not fun.
That's
you're
why
like,
fucking great.
Anytime,
especially if that's your only spot of the week, you're like,
anytime someone would complain about having to go up after me, it just made me go, fuck that person. You're
going
to complain? Just
to
go
take
up.
The bullet
if you can't follow
time.
Me,
I've never,
you shouldn't be a regular
ever
here.
In my life said I don't want to follow that people. I'm actually.
Me neither. Never.
If I eat it, yeah. I want to follow them again. Like,
yeah, to get better. Right.
I like to follow Joey
Rick.
Diaz more just to. Oh. Just to. Find
yeah.
Crack that code, dude.
I had to go up after Louis C.K. a couple times in the main room, and it's just like, well, this crowd is not going to be happy that I'm out there at all. Or when fucking Chappelle came in. Chappelle comes in one night, and he goes up. He just like shows up, pops in. So they're like, yeah, Chappelle's going to go up before you in the main room. It's like, yeah, clearly he's going to go up before me.
Right.
So he goes
oh, he's
up
not
there.
Away from me?
Yeah.
That's weird.
He goes up there, and he's like 12 minutes into his set, and Paulie's like, dude, are you next? I'm like, yeah. And he's like, dude, I'll make sure he doesn't do too long. And then Paulie just walks out on stage. And I'm just like, what are you doing? And the crowd's just kind of, I run over to look. Crowd's just kind of like, wait, what? And he's like, hey, dude, don't do too long because there's a bunch of young comics that want to come up here.
What the fuck?
Chappelle turns around and goes, "What? How long have I been up here? Paulie's like, dude, just don't do too long because there's a lot of guys that want to go up. And now the whole room, like 300 people are just silent, like, what is this guy doing?
I thought someone murdered him.
And then Chappelle goes, hey, man, how long have I been up here? And the sound guy goes, 12 minutes. He's like, I haven't even done a full set yet. And then Paulie's like, yeah, but there's other comics, dude. And he's like, I used to watch Damon Wayans do like 45 minutes, and he would bump me. He said, how long has this next comic been doing comedy? Because if it's less than 10 years, I'm doing another hour. I'm sitting over on the side just cracking up. Like, oh. And now he's like, okay. And then he's like, listen, man, I got it, Paulie. I ain't going to do too long. And then Paulie walks off, and he's like, well, shit, now I got to do at least 30 more minutes so Paulie doesn't think he's my boss. And I'm just sitting the side.
And
like,
did he go 30?
He probably did another 25 minutes, something like that.
Good for him.
But it was like,
that's rude to go out if, on
that
the
is
stage.
Rude, man.
And if
he was doing an hour, I get it.
But there's only one time I saw it, and it was great.
Which one?
It was Steve Trevino was like,
okay.
He was in his like, the Comedy Store fucks me over. And he was in this mode. So he gets the light, and he just keeps going and going and but he doesn't know that Jeff Garlin wants to do a pop-in.
Oh shit.
So he just keeps going. Garland's like, how long is this fucking guy going? He goes, he's got the light. Keeps going. Man, how long? Man, he goes, fuck this. Walks right out. He goes, dude, you have the light. You've ran it by 11 minutes. Get the fuck off stage. Steve face drops. Wraps it up, brings it up. He's like, oh, I go, dude, what are you doing? He goes, what? He goes, you're fucking running the light. You're fucking this place fucks me. I go, it's the Comedy Store.
Yeah.
We
yeah.
all get fucked.
Yeah. That's how it works.
Like, he's just one of those guys, and, you know, it just fits in with this whole thing of like, we're not Highlanders. We right. don't, there can't be a
like
one.
This
literally,
Highlander thing. We're gonna
everybody
like
can
this.
Fuck him. I literally.
Because my jokes are the quickening.
Yeah. I can only be only one. That's everybody who's ever thought like that crashes and burns.
That's so true. What is, I'm going to ask a stupid question because sometimes we do this 10 question thing.
All right, do it. Am I being boring? I feel like I'm boring.
No, you're great. I feel like we're
dude,
we're
you're bringing the fury,
like,
which
yeah,
is nice.
You are a fucking Highlander right now. I'm going to have to look that up after this. Anyway.
there term? Can be only one.
No, I know what
they
it
kill
is.
Each other?
I get it.
Which made no sense.
if anyone's producing sense. For Highlander, we have some questions. Please yeah. call
tag
in.
Tag this. Will you tag Pollyanna so everybody knows?
Oh, yeah, we have to get a picture with her, Ari. Stop Pokemoning. Can you... Oh, Pokemon?
Fucking Ari-ness donkey dick over there.
You have a donkey dick, Ari?
Yeah, I hear it's big. I think he's just super thin, but what do I know?
Yeah, it that's possible. Be. He tried to fool around with my niece. It didn't work out.
She's Why? Like, true?
But if she would have felt that donkey dick, she might have jumped in.
I would open with donkey dick. He's just like, what's your name? Whip it out.
He's got to start rubbing it.
It's this. Yeah. Oh, hello.
I was hoping he was going to get Andy Kindler out of here with a fucking, just a quick slash of the fucking Ari whip.
You know, He talks so much shit to me on Last Comic Standing.
Me too.
And I just wanted to be like, listen, dude, you're the guy who is like rails against sellouts and you're doing this fucking show. Fuck you, man. As far as I'm concerned, the wrong comic died on that season.
You know what?
Who
Greg
who did die?
Is who he's talking about. But Greg picked up for me and was like, God, you're really taking this personal. What she said was hilarious. And I was like, and Natasha Leggero also stood up for me.
Natasha said great things about Greg. Was like,
Andy Kindler a fucking judge?
Yeah. Yes. After all the shit he's talked about people, he fucking was on that show. And I was like, dude, everything he's ever said rings hollow. Al was like, he's got to make money sometime. I'm like, okay.
I made fun of short people. I made fun of short Mexicans. And he got really offended. And I said, is that because your feet are dangling right now? And
nice.
Greg Giraldo loved it. And he got pissed.
Yeah.
And he got even harsher on me. And I was like, I don't really care.
I don't give a fuck.
But it was 7 years ago. What's
your favorite Kindler joke? Because I'm having trouble thinking of one.
He's only known for trolling other comics.
Yeah, what a pile
of
shit.
He trolled fucking
Leno. He stole my whole act.
Leno forever.
That's been my whole gig as long as I've been around. And this guy fucking has been, thinks that he can troll comics.
Has been.
There's a new fucking troll in town, Kindler.
Troll on troll.
Okay, so what's your favorite joke? No, that's not how we say it. What's your favorite joke? Oh, have you ever gone on stage fucked up? Like drunk or hot. I'm asking a question. I don't know.
You want to hear weird shit?
Yes.
I done stand up on almost every drug.
Every drug.
Every drug. I can't do stand up high. On weed. Anything else I can. And coke. Weed and coke.
Well, you can't do it on coke?
I can't.
Wow.
I can get rock hard. A champ. I can't
you've
do
got,
it.
Because you've got good energy, like high energy as a comedian. You on coke, it might just take it too far. Past the boiling point.
I get told I bring coke energy to a pop party when I do weed shows.
Yeah.
Like everyone else. And I'm like, yeah, let's do this. They're like, you're too much. It depends. Dude,
I don't think I've ever seen you drunk.
I used to be really bad. Like, I'm convinced I'm half the reason they started charging comics for drinks at the comedy stores, because I used to come here. You know, so funny. I was hanging out with some young comics. And we were just talking about the different eras of the comedy store and how there was like the Jill Allen era of just like coke and people like. Her and Katie Manzella was just like, everyone was just doing blow, Manzella. Telling jokes, and fucking. And you didn't know what number on the list you were of those chicks, because they would fuck multiple guys throughout the night.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's that Manzella story where she like sucked like three different dicks.
I was the fourth guy that night.
Okay. The best part about that story is that then she left with one of the Australian guys who was like, he was a hobbit and he was in Lost. That night, she, after sucking multiple dicks, she leaves with that guy, and then that dude starts tweeting about how he's making out with a beautiful girl, and he's like, so many dicks in her mouth last night.
But I loved Katie. I loved her.
She was cool. I loved her. I
and people got
great.
So mad at her because she wouldn't suck their dick. And I'm like, dude, it's cool. There's other girls here.
See, I was like, I love girls like that, because I'm like, dang, you're keeping them off, you know, everybody else. Like, we need that. They need the calm.
And then Black Cock Katie was great.
Black Cock Katie was amazing. I mean, you had to be black to get your cock in there, but
when people open the door and she's getting slammed, she's like, shut the door. Shut the door.
I got drunk, a big cock in my Katie. Fucking pussy right now.
And I've never seen someone do more, wreck themselves more with drugs and alcohol and just look like they have no effects of it. I've never seen someone in such good shape. Like, doesn't look like she's aging horribly.
Yeah, which is...
I guess that's just the power of black cock.
Yeah, it must be.
Yeah.
And she loves black cock so much that she's never referred to me by my actual name, only by my black character name.
Oh, it was always,
hey, fucking Donnell. You want to go do that?
You should just go blackface dick and see if she'll go for that. Just paint your dick black and see if she'll go for it.
I think that's the next phase of life in general.
The Comedy Store, sorry, I was just thinking about this moment. The Comedy Store, I learned it was very special because one New Year's, and it was Freddie was still alive.
Okay.
And you remember he's talked to me about, you've seemed to calm down.
Did he perform here that year?
It was New Year's, so I think he did.
Because he did when Cruz was first born, I think.
Yeah. He had this weird kind of thing where he was like a not famous person that could bump. Because he was so like Hollywood Comedy Store royalty. Mm-hmm. Like he could just bump. And there was a rule back in the day that you could only bump in one room. It was like an unwritten rule.
Kind of.
But you never ran back all the rooms, and forth. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Then like Carlos would come in, he'd just bump at Bald. And now I don't know what's the rule now, but so he
it's
went
no
in.
Carlos.
Yeah, thank God. Rule. I have a great story about that guy too. Ugh. So I'm just sitting there, I'm drinking, and then I didn't know, realize I was that wasted, and I go up and I literally walk.
I remember it.
I walked in about 400 seats. I walked 300. I literally walked 300 people. Mm-hmm. I'm like, I'm never working here again.
Dude, that's like
she did
average
book me
Barry
for
Diamond
1 week
set.
And then she booked me again. It was the worst. Yeah. And I kind of stopped partying after that. I kind of like started to wean off.
So, yeah.
It was so bad. I'm like, oh my God.
That's so weird because for now, I, as a comic, seeing you, I never noticed that, oh, he goes on stage drunk. But as a waitress, I remember people walking out.
I used to, because it was wild back then.
That pisses me off.
It was wild. Mm-hmm. It was the Wild West, or maybe I thought it was the Wild West.
No, you were in the Wild West. Everybody else was.
No, totally.
That's what it feels like. It's like everything's, you know, oh, it's so crazy. And I'm like, it was? Like everybody.
I thought it was. I mean, like, same as Wild West. Era was nuts here.
Same was the Dalton gang in Orange County. It didn't fit in, but he thought it was the Wild West.
I thought it was. I thought, like, during the Jill Allen era, there was like small crowds. Everybody was partying.
Yeah.
I was still partying.
She was banning people. It was hilarious. I was like, wait, what?
Dude, I made her cry so many times in that era. It was the best. And Dean would always come up.
She'd ban you?
She'd try, and I'd be like, Dean, fuck that. Your girlfriend's a cunt. And they'd be like, bro, you made her cry, dude. Yeah. And I'll make her cry again if she opens her fucking cunt mouth. Fuck that chick. One of the worst ever. I remember hassling Dean about it at the back door. It's the only time I've ever seen Yousef laugh at something I said. Dean walks by, and I said, "I go, Dean, does it offend you as a Jew or as a boyfriend that that Jill Allen fucked a Muslim?"
Who was the Muslim? Ahmed?
God, which I can't even remember the dude's name was.
Maybe he was into that.
Oh, yeah.
Aaron?
No, because
she did
they,
fuck Aaron, I think, but that, I don't think he's Muslim.
She fucked everybody.
Yeah.
She literally fucked everybody.
Well, at the Dean roast, that was my line was,
oh my God, Dean roast.
If you want to know who Jill Allen fucked, just go look outside. Their names are all painted on the wall. And that
the
was
Dean
pretty much
roast
it.
Was like Ann Coulter at the low roast for Jill Allen. They
it was just everyone ripping
over,
on her.
Everybody shit all over Jill Allen. I mean, and she deserved it. You don't put yourself out there if, like that if you fuck.
Yeah, she could just fuck people and everybody would have been fine.
She fucked PJ Stansberry. That, I mean, that
oh,
is
I
despicable.
Didn't know that. That despicable. Fucked everything up for me.
Didn't she do gangbangs in high school? Like, that was the whole thing?
Probably. She fucked her gym
She's
teacher.
So little.
That was part of her.
Well, yay for her, man.
Yeah, no,
she got
right.
us through a couple nights. She made it.
Yeah.
One of the worst humans ever. If I could order someone to run someone over with a car, it would be any person on earth running her over with a car.
Really?
Yeah.
Everybody on earth? I can't.
Yeah. She's really? That terrible.
She brought in Coke. She ushered in a new Coke era. Now I hear there's a lot of blow now. I don't even know.
Yeah,
who
I don't
has.
See it. We
I haven't
just
seen
talking
blow in a
about
long time.
That with like Paulie, like we were saying, like mostly it's like weed,
a lot
and
of
a
weed,
alcohol, but not as harsh. I mean, I've seen two different decades here. So
yeah, you've seen,
I've seen so many.
Yeah,
the coke dry up nicely, and then everybody go into rehab.
I mean, Sergio Love is not even around anymore.
Threshold.
So
right, yeah. Well,
I mean, the Sergio
Freddie's death again.
Richie fucking Richie all gacked out in the parking lot. Danish and O'Neill like, should we call an ambulance? Do not call an ambulance. I'm gonna be fine. He's literally laying on concrete, just fucking sweating. I am okay. I'm just relaxing right now.
Richie, like, you don't look like you're relaxing at all.
I'm fine. just being like, so this is going on? So this is happening right now?
Did he bring up the McGriddle?
What was your favorite era? Like, Joe Rogan thinks this is the best the Comedy Store has ever been.
Well, I wasn't here for the boom, the original, if you will, boom. Like,
I think
that.
He was at the end of the boom. I think
Joe came, like, he came, I started in 93, he started here in 94.
And the Comedy Store boom ended in like 89.
I think so, yeah, because it was going, we were, that's
Kinison died, that was kind of the end, right? That's 91, 92?
Yeah.
Okay.
But the thing is like, when I first started here, we were still doing 3 shows in the OR, 2 shows in the main room on Friday and Saturday, and we had weekly shows. We had a lot of benefits. I saw a lot of killer shows here that were outside shows, but they were benefits. They weren't bringer shows. They were
right.
People. Why don't they do more shows?
The benefits we had all week in the main room. So that was like, cause like Joe's like, there's no way this place was dead from the time I got here until now. I'm like, wait. There's no way. I would have prostituted myself. There were nights where it was busy. I know it.
There were good nights.
Yeah, there was good nights, but it wasn't like
when
now.
I got picked up, it was dead. Then right. when like but Steve not- Byrne. Brian Callen, Ian Edwards, Al Magical. There was another little boom, like it, like kind of brought the store back. And I feel
a little bit.
Yeah, and then it went back down with Tommy. Then it was boom.
But Tommy brought most of those guys in.
Yeah.
So it was like when I got here in 2002,
and maybe Misty passed Steve Byrne. I remember
it was
that.
Awful until about 2009, and then it was okay. And then once Tommy got fired, and they started bringing in like a few big names to go
Rogan
with the rest
came
of the,
back, yeah. which gave it legitimacy. And yeah. remember, his big show back was like a huge moment.
Yeah.
Like,
oh fuck yeah!
Everybody's going
but
back to
now.
Comedy
what's
Store.
In here is truly different. Like, and I mean, maybe it's because I'm a comic and I'm seeing it different. But some nights I see that fucking main room and it's so packed, and I think fuck comedy, I'm going back to waiting tables.
Yeah,
because I would definitely make more waiting tables.
Oh, they make, dude, the guys sitting people at booths are making more in the comics.
Well, I know, but I'm just saying, like, even when I was waiting tables and it was dead, like, $100 was a bad night.
They yeah. should start.
I know that.
Doing main room shows during the week mm-hmm. and just doing the same fucking get part of
I
the
mean,
door.
I had
There's
Fat
so
Tuesday,
many comedians
I had Fat
here.
Tuesday with Guy Tori. I used to make a fucking ton, and the girls didn't know how to work the black crowds, but then they fucking quickly learned. I was like, look. All they want you to do is remember them.
Yeah.
That's it. So I had my regulars, I had my Tonys, racist. My LTs, I had my people. As soon as they came in, you want this or this? Which one are you going with tonight? Like, I knew their everything. We had the limo guy, Norman Lewis. I knew everything. As soon
great.
As he came in, great guy.
He was the
Take
number one tipper
of
parking
Absolutely.
In the lot, too.
Absolutely.
Dude, what about what's-his-face who used to terrorize me? Run the lot. What's his name?
Chewy
Castro.
Fuck Chewy.
Why didn't he terrorize you and buy his coke?
I was like, why did I fucking get a bat and break that fucking dude?
Odd job.
And then he ran me out one night, and that's why I got fired. Because I used to do jokes. This is when Dan the sound guy hated me.
Danny,
this weird
yeah.
moment. Like, we love each other now, but back in the day, like, we really, he hated me.
Interesting.
Hated me. And I was a knucklehead. I was a knucklehead when I got picked up. I'll admit it. I was stupid. I was just more hurt back in... Anyways, so Chewy heard I called him a retard on stage. He's like, hey, you want to call me a fucking retard, bro? And he like chased me, waddled, wow. and he ran me off.
Was he wearing overalls?
Yeah.
So he's uncomfortable.
And then they called him in the next day. He's like, you can't chase our comics off. You're fucking fired. And I was like, yeah. So, and I know some people were very mad at me about that.
No, but well, then the I watched some punch Larry... Skinny Larry
yeah.
in the face and the back, and I was like, nobody said anything because Larry is kind of an asshole too.
So then they fired him, and then they got a comic to do, and it was like, oh, hold on, you mean we don't gotta get ear beaten every time we come here?
Oh yeah.
And now it's like laid back,
bro. I can't park here, bro.
And then Fat James started becoming crazy,
yeah,
and they kicked him out.
Yeah,
and they died.
And then I had to take over Fat James's shifts, and it was miserable for me. But
the lot guy like, is the worst shift.
Yeah.
I mean, it's sometimes
35
I'm like,
bucks, bro. Totally worth it in my
remember
day.
Remember, we used to not even get hourly.
Yeah.
We were
talking about last
$30. You're like, what the
dude,
fuck?
I said it last night to Paul. I go, dude, I'd work an 8 or 9 hour shift for 25 bucks, and Dean would still take hours off my fucking clock. Paul's like, what? It's like, yeah.
What?
That's what your family was doing. Slave labor. And Dina
$3 an hour.
I go, we get a standard rate. Why are you shaving hours? He's like, because it's against the law to pay you that much. I'm like, you motherfucker, that honesty hurts. That hurts.
The only thing I wish I could change about the Comedy Store today is that
what
they would help nurture young comics, kind of like how when we were young, we got nurtured and we're allowed to expand. I just feel like that was the point of doing a day, working the door and everything. They should have a door guy open every show. Just 5 minutes. And you can pick them. The ones who are good. There are some good guys like Feng Chao and all them. They're good.
I love Feng Chao.
Let them open the show. Can't swear, dude. If you got to swear, you can't open it. Here's 5 minutes. Open the show. People would run through fucking brick walls for that fucking 5 minutes.
Yeah. Absolutely. I agree. And Mitzi used to come in and showcase them and make sure they were working on their craft.
Listen,
and if they weren't, she got rid of them.
When I showcased, I was awful. And there was no reason on earth that I should be doing 15 minutes. And like Mitzi told me that she passed me based on the first 10 seconds of my set where I didn't even say a word. I was just acting like an asshole, like the crowd loved me, even though there were seven people who did not love me. But I still, she gave me spots, and then I started getting really shitty 1 in the morning spots. But now, if I showcase then.
I still get those.
Yeah, well, they still, I'm lucky. They made me good.
Till about 11:15. My favorite spot is an 11 o'clock spot.
Yeah, me too.
That's to be the best if you're a dark or dirty comic. You want to go in those first 2 hours because that's like Disney Showtime fucking shit. When you got 2 hours in them, you've gotten your money's worth. Now I'm going to start
do whatever you
people.
Want.
Yeah.
I definitely wouldn't be given a chance, though, in a modern comedy store.
I don't know if I get picked up. I mean, I was burying people back then.
Me either.
But I don't know if that means as much anymore.
Because we do need that nurturing back. I agree. And there's a few, but it's like if you don't work here, and it wasn't always the case that you had to work here.
They should kick out all the belly room people and start building up that belly room the way they have the other rooms going, and put like an Anthony Jeselnik. Hey, you want to do a 30-minute spot? Here, do it in the belly room. Everybody loves the belly room. You do a 30-minute spot, and you surround them with door guys and stuff like that.
That's kind of how Mitzi did with the girls back in the day, because she wanted them to get their confidence up, and then that became
ruined
the hottest
everything.
Room. And everybody, yes, once we got our confidence, everything got ruined.
God damn it.
Yeah, you get your you
but
start fucking taking
that
plan B,
became,
you start banging black guys, it all goes to shit.
Downstairs,
and
fighting with Mike Ricca. It gets crazy.
Yeah.
It's crazy. They
should turn that belly room into they should
I mean it's just so hard because the problem is it is very expensive to have an establishment on Sunset Boulevard in Los Angeles,
right?
So the overhead here is not light at all.
100%
and so it needs the money.
No, without a doubt.
Yeah.
And there's
so
no
it's
problem
hard.
With that. Yeah. I have no problem with
that's
them
the problem,
having famous people on the lineup.
Yeah,
it
but
does.
Even taking those bringer shows out of the belly room, that's a lot of money. I mean, even when I first started.
Yeah, but if you put Jeselnik or Rogan up there or D'Elia or
I
any.
I agree. Then
they
no
would
women?
Sell out.
Yeah, no women.
They
yeah.
would sell out. You let them do, hey, you do this. Maybe this. Maybe you got to
like
pop
do their
in
OR
here.
Spot and then go up and headline.
Yeah.
Do 30,
do like
40 minutes.
Minute
yeah.
Thing. So when that sells out, you throw them up there. You get fucking 30, 40 people who just want to see a Rogan, D'Elia, or whoever.
Long set. Yeah,
do a 30-minute set.
All right. I mean, we'll pitch it. I feel bad.
We'll talk to management.
You guys got that kind of pull?
Dude.
I did.
We're just under Mitzi.
I like
that. Host of the Comedy Store podcast. We are just over general manager, as far as I'm concerned.
I respect the fuck out of that.
That's just how it goes. All right. So you want to wrap it up?
Yeah.
Shit, it's after.
Was I okay? I feel like
you were
I'll be honest.
It,
I'm gonna critique this.
I would like to know the critique.
And,
you have me back on. I'll have more stories.
We'll
I feel like
you,
this
yeah,
is
we'll
bitch fest.
Notes.
No,
but
we were
I like
bitch,
the bitch.
But we all feel like bitch fest. And the thing is, I mean, what we like to talk about is just Comedy Store stories. So that's what we did.
Yeah.
Right.
It's great. I love. It's like it's really crazy that we are blessed to be in. Like the greatest club in the world. Like,
yeah.
Would nobody thinks anywhere's better. Nobody.
It's true. I never did. In all honesty, I go to the other clubs and I love performing at the other club. I do. I mean, you know, it doesn't feel like home, which is this place. I mean, maybe it's because I've been living here a long time, but it's just weird. It's just, I feel comfortable in this chaos that is the Comedy Store.
I, sad. It's a blessing to go up here.
Yeah. I love it.
I love it. I love the chaos of it. You could tell somebody's a comedy store when they drop them in the mill somewhere. I go do these things on the road, and I watch the features and openers just eat dicks. And I'm like, ugh.
Yeah.
You guys don't even know what you're up against.
Yeah,
that's not fair.
And then, you know, and even the New York City guys who I love to death, they come out here, they come to the comedy store, they eat dick.
It's the best.
But you go that way, you do really well.
Yeah. Crush Festival.
Like, my problem is I always hear how smart New York City crowds are. So always my first set, I'm trying to do my really smart stuff, and it always gets weird. And I'm like, oh, these guys are just...
Oh,
then
yeah,
you go back
just,
to doing your normal.
They're just pretentious and think they're smart.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, New York City crowds are so much smart. I love New York, too.
The crowds are great.
I want to go back out there. I'm going to try to do it.
The stand is amazing. He takes care of everybody. He's so fucking cool. I love that place.
Do you have social media promote?
I am on everything at Sam Tripoli, TRIPOLI. And I also, I'm trying to push my YouTube page now.
Yes.
I started a channel. I'm doing like... daily rants, like 3-minute rants.
Great.
So it's like I got 100 subscribers, so I'm gonna be happy about that.
Give them more, guys. Give them
yeah
more.
Every so that and just found out that my naughty show is gonna be weekly now at Planet Hollywood in Las Vegas every week, Thursday
That's
to Tuesday.
Great.
I'm franchised it, dude. I don't have to run it. I just sold him the net. I get half the door and part of the bar and. I don't have to do jack shit.
That's great.
And I make half the fucking...
But that's it. A brand.
Yeah.
That's what we were talking about.
That's all I do is brands.
A good brand. So you know it's going to be quality performers.
Yeah.
It's going to be... So that's fucking great.
I'm very excited about it.
Me
so
too.
It's like a big... It's permanently on the 50-yard line of the fucking Vegas Strip every fucking week.
Yeah,
you'll see Naughty Show and big lights now. 9
p.m.
No,
oh, sorry.
That was always been the dream.
Judaism kicked in.
That's fine. Hey, dude.
Irish
That's
Catholic.
Awesome.
Big week.
Yeah.
I don't have to work at that shit no more.
Dude, that is fucking great.
That's all
that
I've ever wanted
awesome.
To do is like get it somewhere so I could just
there, leave it.
It's
right.
done.
Yeah.
Let it
Nobody
live.
Else can steal it and do their own naughty show. Now it's there. Now I can be like, okay, on to the next thing.
Great.
Nice. All right.
Yeah. Rick, you got to get on the road, man. You're so fucking funny.
You're absolutely right, Ricky.
If I can
get
a couple get gigs
out.
For you, I'll try to help you. And it's just like... They're going to be weird gigs, but you just got to get through it to get to it. Then you'll do it, dude. It's just, I once people
put,
like on your row, once they see
on
the
road.
Just
put the baby on your back and
I'll take her
like
with
that,
me. I don't even care.
I mean? Yeah, just
There's
leave her.
There's actually a place
hang.
You might be able to do Captain Brian's. You ever do Captain Brian's?
Oh, no.
I'll recommend both of you.
I emailed your other lady and I haven't heard.
Oh, she'll take care of you. Yeah. I got a bunch of people in there. I'll get you
Okay, good. Anyway, should we promote Alt Sam as well? Or
no, just Sam.
Just Sam. I'm saying you want some real.
Dude, I'm telling you, I'm not above fucking putting a bunch of subscribers on my fucking
Me
anything
either.
Else.
I just don't know.
I just
saw.
I'm like, fuck it. Who gives a shit?
Yeah.
I agree.
Nobody
but
cares.
Now that everybody heard you, they know. So
yeah, I'll tell them.
that's how he keeps
hey, Sam,
it real.
Hey Sam, you got a bunch of fake followers? Yeah, I don't give a fuck.
Yeah.
These suits don't. There was a comic who told everyone, I'm gonna put bots on my Twitter and Instagram and get a bunch of fake followers. He's now taking meetings everywhere. They don't care. They don't care.
Yeah.
They don't care.
They
just
don't.
Want to go, hey, boss, he's got a million followers. Then book him on.
Bring
that.
Him on. Let's bring him on.
Give him a show.
And how funny are you that even if, okay, he's got a million followers. They could be fake. We don't care. You get in a room, you're a killer.
That's
like,
right.
That's the problem. These fake people, they do the fake. They're not killers and they shit the bed.
Yeah.
You're
yeah,
a killer.
Yeah. yeah. I agree. Thank you.
You both are.
I love you.
All right.
All right. Thanks for coming,
Sam.
Sam
I'd
Tripoli.
Love to do it again. I'll tell stories next time. Thank
Perfect.
You for having me on. I think the world of both of you, and I love the Comedy Store podcast.
Thanks,
Thank
Sam.
You.
I'm Rick Ingram.
I'm Eleanor Kerrigan.
Thanks for listening, guys. Come check out a show at the Comedy Store, 8433 Sunset.
And don't forget, Pollyanna was here, too.
That's right.
Thank you.
Bye, guys.
Bye.